The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC.
Hey, y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
Hey, this is Annie, and welcome to Stefan Never Told You, a production of iHeartRadio. And yes, you heard that right. It is just me. I am going solo today because Samantha is feeling under the weather. She thinks it's a migraine, which suck. I can speak from experience. So just me today, but I am excited about this one. I'm very sad that she can't be here because I know she would have many thoughts. But we're doing a listener mail today. And as always, so many of you have written in with insightful comments that we want to share. Please keep those coming because we would like to do these more often because you all just have so much to add to what we're talking about. So thanks to everyone who's already written in. Please write in if you haven't, or write in again if you have, because we love doing these. And we get a lot of email about our recent technology episodes that we've been doing, our string of technology episodes. That's going to continue, actually, for another couple of weeks. So if you have any thoughts about things like Airbnb or Discord or AI or any of that kind of stuff, those are episodes we're looking at doing in the next couple of weeks. But in the meantime, let us hear from some listeners who have already written in, starting with Sarah. Sarah wrote, "Hello, ladies. Thank you, as always, for brightening my days. You asked how Reddit makes money on your recent episode. I'm a frequent Redditor, and I'm surprised y'all aren't. I like it because it reminds me of the days of early interwebs with homemade fan websites and AOL. AIM. AIM. Anyway, Reddit sells ads. They look like normal user posts. They're marked as ads, but I've been initially confused more than once until I saw the promoted label. They also make money by selling skins for your Reddit icon. I think they can make more money, though, on Redditor awards. These are things you can buy to give to any post or comment. They started with a gold and silver medal award, then they expanded to all sorts of things. Many of them have additional effects, including boosting the post or comment higher in the chain of comments so more people see it. There's a laughing skeleton gif, a bear hug, and a this pointing hand. I love them all, LOL. Some subreddits have their own custom awards too. Plus, there are some sets of awards, like someone going into a door on the right, and then another award of someone coming out of the door on the left. If Redditors time it right, they can give these to the same post and make it look cool." Ha, okay, it's kind of pointless, but yeah. "Also, I wanted to add that although some of Reddit is toxic, there are also so many safe spaces, and unlike Twitter, trolls can largely be kept out of these communities to let people have more constructive conversations. For example, I have a gluten allergy, and in the GF subs, I could ask people whether I'm being safe or totally overthinking cross-contamination. And although I've been in a stable relationship for 10 years, the sub r/xnocontact is a wonderful community where people support each other in getting over breakups and fighting the constant urge to check your ex's Instagram. That's all for now, but let me know if you need more. Thanks again to you both for interesting and informative content. I just wrote about y'all for my social justice class and even included Annie's cosplay pic. And then Sarah followed up later. OMG, how could I forget? Annie probably already knows about this, but the Star Wars meme subs are the best. r/sequel memes, r/prequel memes, and also r/bikini bottom Twitter has some of the best and also some of the most awful memes. The fact that r/Super Bowl is actually r/Superb Owl makes me think there is hope for humanity. And r/Proplifting has the cutest teeny tiny plants you've ever seen. Love you guys. Keep being badass inclusive feminist. BIF. Thank you so much, Sarah. Thank you for all of this information. Very, very informative. And yeah, all of this sounds pretty amazing to me. I've seen a lot of good Star Wars memes in my day, but it makes me happy to know if that's a rabbit hole I want to go down, there is a place for me to get lost in it. Also, so cool that you talked about us in your social justice class and had a pic of my cosplay, which I can only hope. Just tears and cheers and praise as it deserves. But no, honestly, this is like the stuff I love about the internet. I feel like we rightfully are always pointing out issues, but also, you know, a lot of the social justice benefits of these platforms and technologies. But I don't want it to get lost that they can just be fun. They can just be fun and interesting and a place to share memes. And that's fantastic. So thank you. Thank you, Sarah. Dina wrote, I just listened to your and Samantha's episode on Mandalorians and toxic masculinity and loved it. OFC. I'd not put my finger on exactly how I feel about the armor and the helmet, etc. And you summed up the underlying messages so well. Couldn't agree more with everything you said, and also had to check my own fascination with Mandalorians. The fact Din, the Mandalorian, takes off his helmet should be celebrated. I am just in the process of starting a project/business that is centered around mental health education, and I think a lot about men and mental health. Of course, I think a lot about women and non-binary GNC folks, and the issues we encounter when it comes to health and mental health, but men's and boys' emotional well-being so suffers under the patriarchal system, and it's terrible. Din is a great example for the armor men are expected to put on every day, hiding their humanity, masking their feelings, and showing no vulnerability. Trusting no one, killing/hunting people for a living, and seemingly no emotional impact on him. Grogu/Baby Yoda, then seems to change that, which is nice to see. But I completely agree that had a woman been in this role, she'd have been expected to turn into Mando Supermom instantly. It also, like you mentioned on the pod, shows perfectly how we celebrate men for doing the absolute bare minimum when it comes to parenting. Din keeps Grogu alive. Okay, cool. Honestly, if Grogu spends his whole childhood with Din, he'll need therapy. Don't we all? By the time he's a teenager, because he gets absolutely nothing emotionally from him, let alone cuddles, conversation, or play. Physical safety and the occasional macaroon and metal ball toy does not make a securely attached life form. Anyways, another thing that's been on my mind is this. After Kino's tragic AF moment of I cannot swim, and you know if you know, this theme has come up again, and it bugs me. I know Star Wars is partly about sacrifice, and I know it's a long-standing mythical theme, but not just since the war in Ukraine. I've been thinking a lot about war and the glorification of violence in the U.S. and around the world. I really don't need to or love to see, quote, real heroes die for the cause. Sure, rebellions need sacrifice, but it seems to me that fandoms require death as the ultimate sacrifice, especially if the character is a woman. To me, there are two, and probably more, issues here. First of all, this theme is what governments require for citizens to sign up for the military and give their lives in combat, while the people who send them into war zones are safe. I have never agreed with that. When I see a hero on screen sacrifice their life to save others, it doesn't fill me with pride that humans are so selfless. It fills me with sadness and anger that this person had to die. I don't think it's noble. I think it's necessary sometimes, but it doesn't make the death of that person any less sad and usually unnecessary in the first place. Because war and sacrifice is about systems, and it's the system that's wrong when the dead hero story makes it about the individual, diverting responsibility from those in power. So this is a harmful theme, in my opinion. You can see this especially well in the Star Wars fandom with the hate Rose got for saving Finn from sacrificing himself. We know that there is racism underlying this too, and the fact that Rose is a woman and essentially also, quote, deserved to die. Rose's sister Paige had about 2 minutes of screen time, but was heralded in the fandom as the better sister because she gave her life. Holdo got so much respect after disciplining a man male character because she sacrificed herself. Tala had to give her life for redemption. Women really seem to be expected to die in order to be respected as, quote, true fighters or even worthy humans. Reva seems to be thought of as not worthy of redemption. That potentially would change if she died at some point, which hopefully Star Wars knows should absolutely not happen. We all know that this is an issue, not least because women, and especially women of color, still do pay with their lives for mistakes they make, speaking up against men, or simply for being women. I'm wondering how you see this. It's been bugging me so much since The Last Jedi and is a theme that keeps coming up. Now, some jolly stuff. Are you coming to Star Wars Celebration of London? I bought tickets and I'm likely going, although my Star Wars buddies have dropped out. If you are, maybe we should do some nerding out, have some blue milk. I know it's a long way to go from the US and it's expensive for you guys. I'm not 100% sure I can go yet, but we'll try for sure. Oh my gosh, I would love to. First of all, Dita, and I hope I'm pronouncing your name correctly. I always love getting your messages, your Star Wars messages, because they're, you know, I just nerd out and I love them. I've never been to Celebration. I've always wanted to go. I honestly teetered after you sent this. I was like, ooh, I can go to London. I could do the stuff. It could still happen. Who knows? There's time. But blue milk one day for sure. And then absolutely to all of this. Honestly, I spend an embarrassing amount of time thinking about how people perceive characters like The Mandalorian and why they're so lauded for what sounds to me like self-destructive behavior and then occasionally being nice. As I said, I love that character. I've written that character. I get it to some extent, but there's something about the way that I could go on and on about how men who have spoken to me about it talk about it, about like, oh, I like that he never shows emotion. He has his armor on and doesn't show his face and doesn't share his voice and doesn't share his name, versus how women do it in fan fiction, which is like, and this is a generalization, but I've read a lot of Star Wars fan fiction, so it's a generalization I can back up with some anecdotal evidence, but like that it is a good thing when he takes off his helmet, but also that the violence is a good thing too. Like it shows how much you care or something. Like violence in the name of somebody you love or protect, which again, I have also written, I get. But it gives me a lot of pause. I also, in responding to this email, I said, I found an Instagram post recently that had me nodding my head furiously, where someone was saying, you know, children's books or entertainment is not for us to be like, oh gosh, this is child abuse and all of this. It's about children overcoming obstacles, which I totally agree. But I do think it gets complicated with something like Star Wars, which has like such a base of adult fans who grew up with it, but are now adults. But it's also kind of meant for children. So it's one of those things where sometimes I'm like, well, yeah, sure. A 9-year-old is flying a ship in space alone. Yeah, because it's for kids. But then there's another part of me that's an adult that's like, well, a 9-year-old is flying a ship in space alone. Anyway, so these are just things I wrestle with as a nerd. But also, I completely agree about men's mental health, boys' mental health and issues, and this kind of being an example of what we're teaching them. And I recently had a very insightful but upsetting conversation with a man in my life where he was talking to me about childhood trauma, like it's the first time he's ever heard of it. And it kind of broke my heart. I don't know. I think about that a lot. And I absolutely agree about the sacrifice, especially of women and especially of women of color being glorified. I think you summed it up really well, that we're basically, and this is like, at the heart of Star Wars and so many other things, but I've always said, like, I love Darth Vader's story, but in the end, he died. Like, he doesn't do the redemption work. He just dies. And then we're like, oh, well, that's good. And it's really not. But yeah, people getting uplifted because they died for the cause. And it is very complicated, but I totally agree. And I think I'm with you 100% with Reva. I personally believe with all of my heart that a lot of fans, and especially like dude bro fans, wanted her to die, did not want her to be redeemed, and feel like she should have died. And I think that's a problem. And I also, yeah, with The Last Jedi and Rose being like, you know, we have to live to fight, that dying in glory thing, which, by the way, has been twisted in so many ways when it comes to what a cause that we would not support, say, and her being telling Finn, like, no, we need to keep living and keep fighting, and then kind of getting reamed over the coals for it, is also pretty telling and a problem. And I think Marvel has been showing this a lot in a lot of their recent movies and treatment of women. And I will say that, and perhaps a future episode, but I feel like, you know, it's not like a lot of these franchises have a lot of women or a lot of women of color in the first place. And then if you're killing them all off, but thank you. Thank you for writing in.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Tennessee just sounds perfect, whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure.
To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly boring since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC. And then lastly, Michelle wrote, I was listening to the fiction episode. It happens to be December 2nd, and NaNoWriMo is over, National Novel Writing Month, but I had to write in when you mentioned my favorite event of the year. I'm a municipal liaison, ML, for National Novel Writing Month, which is a fancy name for a regional volunteer who organizes the event locally. There are many MLs all around the world making NaNo fun and providing support to local writers. Shout out to my fellow MLs. NaNoWriMo is a writing event that started as a local thing in one place, then spread all over the world. It's fantastic and helps writers develop a daily writing habit. The official goal is to start a new novel on November 1st and then write 50,000 words of that novel during November. However, this isn't a hard and fast rule. NaNo rebels are encouraged. I've been a rebel many times. Some examples are continuing an existing project, editing a project, writing short stories, poems, or even art. Our region has had artists participate, and we decided a drawing was worth 1,000 words. Winning isn't about competing against others. It's competing against yourself and all the things that prevent you from writing. It's about developing a habit of writing every day. And it's about the community support, the camaraderie, the friendships. For myself, I didn't win this year, but that's okay. Sometimes life intrudes and you must be kind to yourself. For those who participated this year, no matter how many words you wrote or didn't write, you are amazing. You wrote. You created words that didn't exist before, and you can write all year round. The NaNoWriMo website even has a feature to set your own personal goals anytime. You don't have to wait for next November. So keep growing, all you RIMOs. The world needs your novel. I love this. I've always been curious about MLs because Atlanta, they'll do events like write-ins at restaurants or even stores or libraries or on the train on MARTA, which is really, really cool. And I totally agree that NaNoWriMo it taught me like an invaluable lesson, which is to just write. Like, don't get hung up in editing every word. Don't get hung up in questioning if it's good or bad or not. Like, to just do it. And after the first time I did do it, which we're now reading on this fiction thing that I wrote during NaNoWriMo, it changed. It like changed my perspective on what I could do and what I could write. And it made it much easier for me to be like, you know what? I feel like writing and I'm just going to write and I'm not going to stop because I think it's not any good or because I need to edit this or there's a better way to say it, like to just get it on the page and then you can do all that stuff later if you want to. But also I love this about Nano Rebels because I had my question about if people were cheating and you've clarified it. So thank you, thank you, thank you very much. And yeah, I would love to hear from any other listeners about this, about their novels, their experience with NaNoWriMo. And yeah, as a reminder, please, please, please keep writing in. We would love to do these more often. We love hearing from you. And thanks to these listeners for writing in. We very much enjoyed these letters and reading them. So thank you. You can email us at stephaniemomstuff@iheartmedia.com. You can find us on Twitter at @MomStuffPodcast or on Instagram at @StuffMomNeverToldYou. Thanks as always to our super producer, Christina and Samantha. We hope you feel better soon. We missed you. And thanks to all of you listeners for listening. Steph Mom Never Told is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure.
To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands. Not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly boring since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances. Whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities, or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death, we all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.